Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Daniel, welcome to the program today.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Well, very good. We want to talk a little bit about CIA spying on people, the FBI spying on people, and always revealing the truth to us. And there's a lot of sorting out to do, especially with these hearings that have been going on and the accusations going back and forth on who's spying on whom and did the Obama administration actually spy on Trump? And of course, they denied it, so I guess we have to just accept it. But it comes from people like Clapper and others, and they're denying it. And I don't know whether Comey is a reliable source to find out what's going on. But yesterday there was some news, and Nunes all of a sudden said, "Hey, we might have some evidence on this that that Trump actually was being spied on, and his maybe even his whole staff was being spied on." One person said maybe for 2 years. Somebody else even suggested no, they were really spying on Trump for some political reason for 8 years, and that sort of coincides with the Obama administration. But the really tough thing, I think, to figure out is there are no saints in this. You know, it'd be nice if we knew that everything the Republicans said and did, they weren't involved in politics and they were trying to reveal the truth. And, of course, it would be nice if it were somebody on the other side. But they usually get silence. They don't get to hear it. That is why, you know, it's been a welcome relief to get some bits and pieces of truth when you come across a Edward Snowden who comes out and gives us. And there's some FBI informers right now, people that worked for the CIA, and they're whistleblowers, and they're starting to reveal some of this information. I think that's where most of the truth is. But one thing that we were concerned about for years, especially when they were passing the Patriot Act, how horrible it was, and it just was trashing the Constitution. Here it is. The Patriot Act is coming back to haunt people either who voted for it back then, supported it back then, support it now. The administration, strong supporter of the CIA, Patriot Act, as well as they've been to, you know, our CIA chairman, you know, director. He supports it too. So they like this, but they all of a sudden, if it's used in political reason, oh, we don't like it. We remember about Feinstein. She was all for all this stuff. You mean they were listening to my calls in my Senate? You'd think the alarm bells would ring, but only for the instance. No, we won't do this again. It goes on and on. So the Patriot Act, I imagine we could go back and look at a lot of the things that we worked on to try to warn people what would come of the Patriot Act. And one thing that the Patriot Act I reminded people of is anytime it has a nice name to it, just always assume, all bills have good names to it, always assume the bill is the opposite. And believe me, I think it's confirmation that the Patriot Act is actually opposite of anything patriotic in the good sense of the term.
Yeah, well, you know, the Nunes revelations yesterday were kind of a bombshell, really. And, of course, it was always put in the political context. The pro-Trump people said he was vindicated. The Democrat Party said, well, he's just carrying water for the White House. But the substance of what he said, if you break it down with an understanding of the Patriot Act and its successor, the Freedom Act, also misnamed, is that what Nunes, I think he chose his words carefully. That Trump possibly, but certainly people in his campaign team, were incidentally surveilled in wiretapping, you know, the equivalent of wiretapping. And that really brings up the issue of the bulk collection of people's information, but especially Section 702 of the FISA courts, which was amended under the Patriot Act. And this is actually what we're talking about. And we have a graphic here. I won't read the whole thing because it's very long, but I think this is a good summary. Essentially, what it does is it allows the Attorney General, which would be Comey, the DNI, which would have been Clapper, to jointly authorize the targeting. Targeting means listening into, monitoring people reasonably believed to be located outside the U.S., but it cannot target, but limiting to targeting non-U.S. persons, and it can hold it for a year. Essentially, what this means, if you can find someone overseas who might be likely to talk to Trump or someone on his team, you can get an authorization to spy on that person. And the guy from Trump's campaign is just incidentally listened to, but you can still hold on to that information. It seems like that's what may have happened from what we can piece together.
But, you know, whether it's Ed Snowden or others who have written about this, that the records are just total. Everybody gets looked at and they're on, but they're not supposed to be using them unless there's suspicion. But I'll tell you what, I have no trust in the government officials. You know, this whole idea that the information is collected, maybe it was incidental and not a big deal, that an administration, either administration, wouldn't use it and look at it and deal with it. I mean, we went through the scandals of things back with the Nixon administration, you know, and how they used government records and the IRS records. And now it's more sophisticated. But this idea that it's just sitting around there in case that we need to do this and get a special order, I think it's just fictitious. I think if anything is political is up for grabs. And I think this whole thing, I think 99% of what we deal with here, these hearings, it's political. It's not justice. Just think of how, I guess it was Comey that decided that Hillary there wasn't enough evidence on Hillary doing any wrongdoing, so he said we wouldn't pursue that. So that they have the power to pursue or drop, and it's pure politics. I think that's the biggest thing. It makes it very hard for the American people, because when somebody comes along and says, you know, I'm different and I'm going to do it differently, we want to believe, and we always hope they will. But quite frankly, I think the political system is so terrible, you know, it's just sort of a rotten system that I don't expect a lot, even though that doesn't mean that I think that everybody in Congress or everybody in the Senate, you know, is part of the corruption, because there are some good people. They're all trying, but they don't happen to, be in the leadership. Because, matter of fact, if you're one of the good guys and you get invited into the leadership, generally your whole tone and all your votes and everything turns around. So if I see one of the hardcore all of a sudden being, you know, in part of that leadership position, your job is to make a deal. And the deal making that I witnessed in Washington always, you know, came up short, because you always had to give up some part of your liberty. You say, oh, yeah, but we saved this half, but we gave up this half. I think we always lose with deal making.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, what's really interesting about what Nunes said yesterday, and it was a very specific phrase that people should pay attention to. He said the information that he has pointing to this incidental surveillance of Trump's people, the surveillance itself, meaning the targeted person, contained no foreign counterintelligence information. So that means essentially what I would speculate, I think based on what we know, is that they were not spying. He said it wasn't the Russians either. So it wasn't part of the Russian investigation. Mm-hmm. That's important. They just happened to find a foreigner. The information they got did not have any foreign intelligence value to the U.S., but it enabled them to indirectly target the Trump team. And I think that, if it's not criminal, it certainly should be criminal, if that's indeed what looks like. And I think Nunes carefully phrased it to give us the indication that that's what he's trying to say.
Yes, and there's now a suggestion that some other news that broke in the last 48 hours was another whistleblower, Dennis Montgomery, who has left. He was a contractor for the CIA and NSA, and he took a lot of materials with him, 45 hard drives and millions of pages, and he worked real hard. He went out to all the committees, and nobody would listen to him. And he says, I have the evidence, and this has happened. He even went to the FBI, but it was the FBI that did the spying that was illegal. So he goes to the FBI, and he goes and was willing to testify under oath to the FBI. And this information of, you know, runaway spying on everybody for political reasons, he had the evidence. And yet nobody wanted to have anything to do with it. They begged and pleaded that Nunes ask combing these questions. It didn't happen. But this all broke about the same time, and all of a sudden Nunes came up with another. Whether or not they're related, I have no idea, but it's sort of coincidental that all of a sudden there's this relationship of another whistleblower, and it looks like it could be huge. And once again, though, blessed are the whistleblowers.
And
I think it also makes a strong point is you can't trust the government to give you a fair shake. They say, you know, the so-called justice seekers, they say, well, what Edward Snowden needs to do is he needs to come home and face up to it. And why didn't he do it the right way? Why didn't he go to the committee? If you look at this stuff, and I believe these latest reports, is that that Montgomery was rebuffed. And they didn't deal with it, and they didn't really look into it. And he wasn't rebuffed. And why would a whistleblower, really expect? Why would Edward Snowden expect justice? I just don't believe it for a minute that it would happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's understandable that Nunes and his staff would be cautious about someone offering them a huge amount of information. It's hard to go through it. But then again, if it's someone that has a legitimate credibility, he'd been in there, then it would be certainly worth. So, well, I think we'll have to see what the next step is. But the real takeaway, as you point out, I think, of all of this is the Patriot Act, right? You know, this is something when you were in a group of you were opposed to it, they said, come on, this is only about the bad guys. It's not about Americans.
Yeah, I can remember when we were voting for this, I was sitting beside somebody I was friendly with, but it might have even been a Democrat for all I know, but his position was he had to vote for the Patriot Act. And of course, this was in light of 9/11. And so I said, you know what this does? And listened to a few of the things that you just mentioned. I said, you know what this does? And he says, yeah. I said, well, that's terrible. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, well, why are you going to vote for it? He said, well, he says, I can't conceive of going back to my district and explaining it to them on why I'm voting for it. I says, but that's your job. That's your job to do that, to go back and explain it to them. And so he, of course, voted for it. And that's why the pressure was so great. He didn't believe in it, but it was political, you know. And the political pressure was real, very heavy. That's when liberties are undermined the most, under circumstances like that. And that's why if the crises aren't out there, you know, like why do the banks have to bail out? The financial crisis is so bad, you have to create $20 trillion, you know, to bail out everybody. Or if it's a foreign policy, you have to create a crisis to and make sure that the enemy's at our doorstep and the world is coming to an end. And then there's a rollover. You know, the people who know better would like to, and they say, well, people wouldn't understand. Well, but the individual should understand it. But unfortunately, even on when the Patriot Act would come up at later dates, they never improved it. You know,
they just made it worse. The Freedom Act made it worse.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier on, and I think this is important to remember, this unfortunately is all done within the context of politics. Republicans are looking to score their points. The Democrats are looking to score their points. And the rest of us in the middle are the ones that are getting stepped on,
right?
You know, because this isn't necessarily about Trump. We're talking about it because it's a pretty high profile thing. But it's about the idea of spying on people. It's about the idea of the Patriot Act allowing, providing the space. And you said it at the time. If you allow them to do it, they're going to take advantage of it. We know they have. You know, Adam Dick, who's our senior fellow at the Institute, he had a good piece, very timely. It came out right as Nunes was delivering these revelations. And I'll sort of paraphrase a couple of his real key points, because it is so important to remember. He said it's naive to believe that the people who obtain the surveillance-derived information will not use it to their advantage. And the other thing, it's also naive to assume that surveillance efforts will not be adjusted here and there to make sure that the more desired info is incidentally collected and shared. And I think that's what we're looking at here.
Well, when problems come up like this, and there's no easy answer because of the complexity of the political system, I keep thinking, well, there must be some good in this. And maybe the good part is that everybody spies on each other in Washington. Republicans spy on the Democrats and vice versa, and everybody knows what's going on. But feigning this outrage and expressing these outrages is so bad. I just cringe when I hear either side saying, oh my goodness, you're not following the rules. You know, you're not allowed to release this. And they're just outraged because of that. That's the part that exists. But maybe the fact that everybody can spy on each other. I used to think that, you know, the private market would do it, and they're not responding very well. They're too often in bed with the government.
Yeah.
But the whistleblower, and I've gotten into trouble, of course, by praising whistleblowers, thinking that they are the true patriots when they're telling us the truth of what the government is doing when they're undermining our liberties and undermining the Constitution, that those people are the patriots, not the people who voted for the Patriot Act. Yeah. That's not, they're not the patriots.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, my takeaway today, I've engaged in a little bit of fantasy. I'm living in a fantasy world. So in my fantasy world, here's what happens. If Trump determines that Comey was colluding with Clapper in trying to surveil him, fire Comey, prosecute Clapper for using this for political reasons, he does that. And then he gets up and he says, you know, the reauthorization of Section 702 of the FISA courts comes up in December. I'm going to oppose it and encourage Republicans to oppose it. We don't need this. And finally he says, I finally understand. I've been a victim of the Patriot Act myself now. I'm going to oppose it. I'm going to give you back your privacy. Well, what are the chances?
Well, I'll tell you what, you are a dreamer, and you've worked in Washington. I am so surprised, but it's a great suggestion, and we have to make the suggestion to know where we're going, even when we know that we never reach the goals of perfection when it comes to the policies of peace and prosperity. You have to set the goal, because if not, you never even move in that direction, and that is our biggest problem. But I think one thing that's so often happens in Washington is they say, well, it's legal, we can do it. The Patriot Act says it's legal. Oh, the court said we can do this, and that is fine. They pretty often hide behind the pseudo-legality because something is on the books or some interpretations. And yet they will ignore the basic fundamentals of what was attempted in the Constitution and said, well, we can vary that a bit. We can modernize this. We don't have to follow the letter of the law. But I think the other issue that should override all this pseudo-legality and misinterpretation of the Constitution is basic morality. You know, by what right do you have to institute the runaway welfare state, the runaway benefits to the financial markets, and the abuse of the American people and our troops by sending them hither and yon around the world and being slaughtered and pretend that they are the greatest heroes in the world. At the same time, they're doing something that technically not only is illegal and unconstitutional, it's immoral. So I think that would be a different type of approach. But I also do believe very firmly that it is important to set a goal and understand the goal and know what a free market is really like, even though you know you're not going to get it tomorrow. But you have to know that in order to defend against the nonsense. When you start in the middle and say, we have to give this away and give this away, we have to bring this group together and the other group together, and therefore you will protect your liberties. No, that isn't the case. I think it should not ever be compromised in the middle, but you should work with the opposition, the political opposition, because so often you will find progressive, honest, progressive Democrats who do believe in civil liberties and who believe in a different foreign policy than what we have. Under those circumstances, you can bring people together. I am convinced that the concept of liberty always brings people together. If you want diversity, look to liberty for that. That will solve all those problems. You can't force those kind of things down people's throats. You can't force it down their throats about how they're allowed to spend their money, how they're allowed to run their lives, or how other countries should run their business. So my argument is for liberty. My vote is for liberty. And my vote is against the Patriot Act, because we just talked about all the downside of passing laws like the Patriot Act. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.